Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
It is that perfectly constructed arch that to me means nothing. The only thing it could mean is, and I've been to the Great Wall of China too, the only thing it could mean is it's a signal to aliens that we're here and we've got this pretty cool thing and you can look at it. And people, and I felt this way about Dealey Plaza in Dallas, but not as much as the arch. For me, it's the arch. Is there any, Tori, you've been all around the world.
I haven't. I'm just staring at you going, the arch?
Yeah, the arch in St. Louis.
It's not even natural.
How did they get, how did they know it would meet?
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
So we're live at Chatter, which is at the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest. And we're open for breakfast when we do this show. We're doing the show all 5 days this week. But people come in here, you know, one of the things I'm supposed to do is sort of sell the notion that you can operate a podcast here. You can have rent, you can pay us rent, a very minimal amount relative to rents for studios. And you can come in here and do the podcast. Whoever was in here doing the podcast last night, and I know who they were, they must have been deaf. Because when I turned on the headset today, I actually thought my head was going to explode.
Sorry about that.
Do either
no
of you?
No problems here.
Gene is here. Tori is here.
Did they leave crumbs all over your table?
No. Everything was nice and neat, but they were deaf people because that was. And I have the hearing of an 85-year-old man.
Yes.
I have very bad hearing. This was amazing.
Well, they've done that thing. Remember the sound that they played for you at PTI years ago?
I can't hear it.
Yeah, the upper tones.
I can't hear it. I can't hear the things that 60-year-olds can hear. I can't hear any of those things, which is why, actually, I hate Priuses because you can't hear them, much like Mother's Day and Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. They sneak up on you. You cannot hear them, and if you step out into the street, they will kill you.
They had to add noise to the Prius for that very reason.
That is a tremendous mistake with a Prius. You don't want a car with no noise. Part of the fun of a car, well, why did you buy a Mustang when you were a kid? Because it made big noise. It made big growling noises. Why do people buy Dodges? Because you can hear a Dodge coming from 85 miles away. Anyway, we can move on. But I don't usually do this. Big sports. Big sports.
Yay. Big sports.
Tori, who grew up in Pittsburgh, but is not afflicted with the Howard Fineman disease.
Who's
of
humble
Pittsburgh.
Bragging right now, by the way.
Oh, that I told you the Caps would.
Yes.
Well, he did kind of. He did say last
he
week.
He did say it, thought, but that was a sort of right. a crutch to protect himself.
and I love Everybody you, Howard, but the humble bragging has got to stop.
Alexander Ovechkin last night. Alexander Ovechkin, who is. Sidney Crosby is the bane of Alexander Ovechkin's existence. Alexander Ovechkin is always compared and always compared unfavorably to Sidney Crosby, and for reason. Sidney Crosby has won Stanley Cups. Sidney Crosby has won world championships. Sidney Crosby has won Olympic gold medals and scored the goal that enabled Canada to win that. Alex Ovechkin doesn't have any of that. But what Alex Ovechkin has is a goal with 107 to go last night that he threw off the post and then held the stick up as if it was batting practice. Didn't skate by the goal, knocked it in on the rebound. That is the goal that wins 4-3. That's the game that there was like no scoring in the first period. And then there was a lot of scoring. We can get to Tom. We're going to have Barry Zvaluga on later, who was at the game. Tom Wilson is, he's George Atkinson. He's a strong safety who wants to kill people, who needs to be outlawed. I mean, this is true. He needs to be outlawed. He was not called for a penalty. He broke a guy's head last night. He was not
broke
called.
Broke his jaw.
Not
called,
be too
that's
dramatic.
Part of your head. Is your jaw part of your head? He broke his head.
The head implies the whole thing.
He was not
but he
called,
did get a concussion, too.
Not called for a penalty at all. Would not surprise any of us if upon review he gets something. He gets something. He didn't win or lose the game. I'm not going to go much further with this because I don't know anything about hockey, but I will say two things. One, Barry Melrose is now turning to the Caps. And he was hating on the Caps after game one and just thought they stunk. He's now turning to the Caps. And in the last series the Washington Capitals played, they went down 0-2 and won four in a row. In this one, they went down 0-1 and they've now won two in a row, and they could win four in a row. Pittsburgh, in winning games against Philadelphia, scored 5, 5, 7, and 8 goals. They're not close to that. So the only takeaway, the only reasonable takeaway, is that the Washington Capitals defense is far superior to the Philadelphia Flyers defense. and that the Washington Capitals, in this case, it seems to me, and I am a significant doubter, it seems to me that they can win this series.
It's the Washington Capitals.
I understand.
I cannot get out ahead of my skis on this one.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm like etched in pain from previous playoffs. Do I want them to win? Yes. Am I optimistic after last night where I stood and screamed for the final two periods? I really thought I was going to have a heart attack.
In your house?
In my house.
Screaming? Absolutely. What happened to the birds?
I was like you. I stood.
Eat at the sink. Eat the ice cream. Drink the scotch.
That's the only way to do it.
Yeah. I stood in front of the TV.
Yeah.
But I don't want to give any sweepingly optimistic predictions at this point.
Tori? How did your family deal with
they
this?
They did great. Yeah. They lived. Yes.
Anyone arrested?
Brian and Charlie, no. According to Brian, the overserved Pittsburgh fan who accosted him in the men's room probably should have been arrested.
Right.
But they did not get arrested.
Right.
Well,
they said the Pittsburgh fans were very nice for the first period and kind of okay in between one and two, and then it got pretty ugly, and they were a little worried, but it was all good. Now, I'm with Jeannie. You can't. You cannot have lived in this town and gone through and think they will. What I did think was impressive is that it didn't, you know, these games often turn into a big contest for the goalies, right? I think there were only 20, 22 shots for each side in the entire game, which is interesting. And the Caps played really well during the whole
Caps came
game.
Back. They were losing. They came back.
They never gave up.
No.
That was a really, really good sign. And that is a really, really hard play. And on top of the curse of Pittsburgh on their shoulders, to play in that arena.
To
and
take
that
home
crowd,
court right back in the first right. opportunity to take it back right then and there.
That is an incredibly intimidating place if you're a Pittsburgh fan, right? It's so loud. It's so tough. So for them to do it there is very, very
and
impressive.
And Brian and Charlie wore Caps gear?
Yes, they did. They
That's
sent
insane.
Pictures.
I wouldn't do that.
I sent Michael to school at University of Pennsylvania and said, you can go to Redskins games, but you cannot wear Redskins gear.
And this was
gear.
Doubled down by Jaws, who said, Michael, I love you, don't do this.
Not only can you not wear Redskins gear to a Philly game.
No, you cannot.
You have to wear green or they know
who you
are.
That's right. You have to cheer in silence.
Exactly.
So the story, normally the Caps end up going against the hottest goalie in the playoffs, and you're not seeing that with this Pittsburgh series.
Murray, is his name Matt Murray?
Yes. And you also have a history where a lot of the Caps players have this flurry of offense, but they're just out of position on defense, and they give up some soft goals. And my biggest moment in last night's game was Holtby is just out of the crease, and there is a puck that's about to just go over the line, and Matt Niskanen shows up out of nowhere and just slaps it away. And that, to me, is a Pittsburgh play. That's what we have not seen from this team in the past. Now,
how's your optimism factor?
The worst thing you can get is a 3-1 lead with this team, right? You'd fully expect it to go 7
games. You can't win 4 if you don't get to 3.
I understand that, but that's the in-game version of the 2-0 lead with them.
Yeah.
Can we go back to Ovechkin's goal for a minute?
Sure.
The presence of mind. To take the shot on goal.
Yes.
And these guys, usually, they take the shot and they're by. The presence of mind to be there when it's in the air
to
and whack it out of the air was remarkable.
The speed control, the hand eye with the stick, it's amazing.
And this could rewrite, I mean, if they win this series, it rewrites in part some of that personal history. It would be a bad loss for Crosby, but it would be a huge win for Ovechkin. Crosby's got 3 Stanley Cups, so it's not, you know.
Yeah. After Ovechkin scored that goal, he just kind of glumps over to the side and he bangs against
that's
what he does, but it's all Pittsburgh fans.
Yeah.
And the Phantom daughter, Devin, of course, is watching the game up in Syracuse, and she sends me a screenshot of the coverage, and all the Pittsburgh fans against the glass are giving Ovechkin the TK salute.
That's good for them.
And my daughter's like, nice, nice people.
So right,
we will get to more of this at length with Barry Svrluga. There are 2 basketball games that need to be spoken about. One is easy. Steph Curry comes back, plays 27 minutes, scores 28 points. How's that? A point a minute. That's very good. Kevin Durant scores 29 points and has 15 in the fourth quarter. Golden State beats New Orleans. Golden State's the best team. You can argue for Houston all you want. It's an upset if Houston wins, even though Houston has home court in that inevitable series, a series that people actually do want to see. New Orleans is no threat to Golden State. Utah is no threat to Houston. If there were a living, breathing commissioner in the NBA, he would stand up and declare both those series over and say that Houston and Golden State will start tomorrow in best of 11, because that's what you'd like to see. That's the best that basketball has to offer, and now we still have to go through the motions and wait for it. In something a little bit closer to my heart, because Toronto eliminated the Wizards. Not to my chagrin, but to my surprise, because I actually thought the Wizards were better. Toronto, if you'll remember, Toronto has all-star guards in Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. Kyle Lowry, in particular, has not been as good in the playoffs as he has been in the regular season. And they went on television, and they declared before the first game against the Wizards that that was not a game one, that was game seven. Because they were 0-7 in game ones at home, and they understood, they faced it head on, and they said, we have to win this. And they did. They won that game, and they won the series. And they won the series against the Wizards by, in games five and six, just running away from them late in the fourth quarter. You know, with Beal and Wall on the floor, just running away from them. Okay. If that was a game seven, beating Cleveland had to have been two game sevens. Because Cleveland, you may not think that the team as a whole is all that good, but you know LeBron James is the best player in the world. They lost at home. They lost game one at home in overtime against a Cleveland team that did not shoot well. LeBron James in the fourth quarter and overtime was 3 of 15. He didn't score at all in the overtime. He had a triple-double. He is the best player. He didn't score at all. Toronto lost that game at home, leaving everybody in Canada, from Justin Trudeau to Drake, looking for a garbage can to heave into. Because this could be over. And Cleveland got help. Kyle Korver and Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith, the ghost of J.R. Smith, the shirtless ghost of J.R. Smith. He had 20. They went a whole series, and nobody got 20 other than LeBron in their first series. I thought they would beat Toronto. Wilbon laughed at me. Wilbon, of course, today will somehow claim that he always knew this was happening, but this is a very big loss for Toronto.
Yeah, especially in overtime. And they were up the whole game.
Cleveland
right?
never
yeah.
led.
By a lot.
Right.
They
yeah,
were up in the first quarter by 15.
That's got to be dispiriting for them. I have to say, I did not watch 1 second of that game.
Oh, I watched a lot of it.
I was occupied with the Caps and the Nats. That was my commitment.
I was running around the dial. No, you know what? Honestly, I didn't get to the Nats. Because I was running from the Cleveland basketball game to the Washington Capitals game. What do you make of?
Some of us focus on show prep.
Yeah,
I had
some of us
three
watch
TVs
local
going because sometimes it takes too long for the channels to switch. Right?
That
takes
is the problem with Infinity.
Yeah, it takes a little too long.
That when you switch, even if you say "Give me the Nats," the screen comes dark. They announce what they're and right. you miss things. Is it Xfinity or Infinity?
Xfinity.
I had this talk with a guy who's like the head of something. And I said, I had this talk last year.
Get another TV.
This is the great failure of Xfinity, that when you want to switch, you don't get the screen. You don't get the action quickly enough.
Exactly. So I wanted to see what Steph Curry was doing. He looks healthy, but he still looks really small to me. Maybe it's just my comparison.
He's never going to look big.
He's just
small.
Slight. So I watched him. LeBron James, I think LeBron just, he does what needs to be done and not a whole lot more, right? He rises to what he needs to rise to. And
he got help. He got help from his teammates.
Yeah.
They have beaten, towards the end of the season, after the All-Star break, when they restocked their team with, it seems to me, inferior players to some degree. They beat Toronto twice. They beat them. It was Cleveland. They were scheduled in Cleveland, but they beat them twice. And I thought those were those rare games where LeBron said, you know what, we're going to play them. Let's just beat them right now. And they beat them twice. Now this is three in a row over Toronto. And you know that the Toronto players know this is three in a row over Toronto. And so now they have gotten to where, even if they lose game two, they can win at home. And they can win the series.
I know nothing about basketball, but I watch LeBron James all the time.
He's
and
great.
I listen to what he says, and I just think, they're going to win. Because he's just going to do what it takes. And he's sick
he's
of
the
all the chattering talking heads, what they say about him being done and this and that. I think he's just
no,
going to get
it
done.
No, he's the best player.
Yeah.
You know, and I hope he singles out Wilbon as somebody who had no faith in him. Because we have seen Wilbon say that Indiana should beat them and Toronto should everybody should beat them. And one of us sits there and says, you know what? I'm going to roll with this guy because he's always in the finals.
Right.
He's always in the finals.
Wilbon can be fluid on these issues, as we've learned.
Yes, he can. Yeah. All right, so we will take a break, and when we come back, fluid. We will get Barry Svrluga, who went to the hockey game last night. But we'll also ask him a little bit about the Nats. A big move was made last night by the manager of the Nats, Dave Martinez, moved Bryce Harper.
Move.
Yeah.
Huh? A temporary move, but a big one nonetheless.
It was important. It was a jump-start move.
Well, and something that Dusty Baker rarely did, and something that Matt Williams never did.
Well, no, Matt Williams went and took him out of a game. How'd that work out for Matt Williams' career?
Well,
because one guy's still here and one guy's coaching third base.
Matt Williams would post the lineup and never have a discussion with the player about why he was doing what
As you recall,
doing.
I never liked, from the day he was hired, when he said, I can't wait to get there, and he spent 3 more months in Arizona. I felt that was a lie.
So
it was like the Randy
Edsel
lie. Right. Randy Edsel, I've wanted this job my whole life.
It's so unlike you to scorch the earth around someone before they've even arrived.
That's what I do. All right, so we'll be back with Barry Svaluga. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
That was scratchy.
Yes, it was.
Are we going to go through the scratchy part again? This is the Books ad. I'm going to read the copy. Raising you wasn't all Skittles and unicorns. Can somebody just tell me what does that mean?
Everybody loves Skittles and unicorns.
Yeah, I hate Skittles.
Easy things. Skittles
I hate
and
Skittles.
I love
fun,
Skittles. Love Skittles.
Raising you
Skittles.
Wasn't all Skittles and unicorns, but you turned out pretty awesome.
I used to eat them color by color.
Thanks to Mom. Look, Mother's Day is coming. It's her big day. Mom's Day is Books Day. Books, that's short for bouquets, and these flowers are booking awesome. You know, that would be okay if we didn't know about booking.com.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean?
Booking that, yeah.
Booking
yeah.
awesome. I mean, that, you know, I don't want to be too critical, but that sounds a little bit derivative. Moms don't want online sweatshop flowers at Wilt in 2 days. I like that line. Online sweatshop flowers. Your mom deserves flowers from the Books. Books flowers are as unique and special as your mom. They're freshly cut from Books farms and delivered straight to your mom, so they last weeks, not days. Books even has farms located on the side of a volcano that produce flowers so gorgeous, Mom will post pics of them and brag about you. And because Books cuts out the middlemen, you'll get amazingly fresh flowers at an amazing price. Show Mom how much you care. Send her artisan design flowers from the Books. What does that mean, artisan design? Is everything... What's the difference
between... Not mass-produced.
What's the difference between artisans and baristas?
What
are baristas? Can baristas be artisans?
They're made up professions.
Okay. Send her artisan design flowers from the Books. Order today and get an extra 15% off when you enter Tony, the promo code Tony. That's Books.com, BOUQS.com. And remember to enter Tony to save an extra 15%. Books.com.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent to us by Cody Workala, who writes, in Portland, Oregon, who writes, Dear Hoff Waff, I've attached the song Coast is Clear by my band Cedars and Crows. This Friday, May 4th, that's this Friday, we're playing a show at the Big Legrowski, a Big Lebowski-themed bar here in Portland, the Big Legrowski. We are so appreciative that you continue to support independent musicians. Keep up the work. And thanks to Steve Harold in Kentucky for not naming all the sauces. I really like peanut sauce. This is, again, Cedars and Crows, and Coast is Clear. And that introduces Barry Svaluga, who is in Pittsburgh. And in the opening segment, we talked about the game. There's a lot of things to get to in the game. I want to start with something that is minor but may have a large effect on the rest of the series, and that is Tom Wilson going full free safety and trying to kill as many people as are near him on the ice. He did not get a penalty for breaking a guy's head and causing a concussion. Well, it's part of your head. He did not get a penalty for that in the moment, and there was a review. I mean, the referees all huddled at that point. Do you expect the NHL to toss him from at least one of the remaining X amount of games?
This is a really, I don't think it's a small point either, because I think Wilson, in a way, has kind of set the tone. And in a way, he's provided the distraction now with these two hits, one on Brian Dumoulin in game two, and again last night on Zach Aston-Reese, that have sent Penguins out for the game. Certainly high hits. The discussion amongst the officials that you mentioned, Tony, Isabel Krasudian, our beat writer, was a pool reporter with the officials afterwards last night and asked about that. Why did you huddle? What was discussed in the huddle? Because, again, no penalty was issued. That's what they talked about. They said, look, obviously the guy's down on the ice. the two lead officials did not have a penalty. What did the linesman see? They want to make sure they get it right. They determined, much to the chagrin of 18,500 people at the, whatever it's called, PPG Paints Arena, that there wasn't a penalty. So what they'll be looking at is, does Wilson leave his feet to make the hit on Aston Reese? That's a very, very close call if you slow it down and play it in super slow-mo. He eventually ends up in the bench, but that was kind of as he was finishing the check. Does his left shoulder initiate contact with the head, or does it hit Aston Reese's shoulder first and then go through to the head and break his jaw and give him a concussion? And then you can't help but ask and wonder, does Tom Wilson's reputation factor into, it's not supposed to factor into whether there's a penalty or disciplinary action or not. It certainly would factor into the discipline if they decided that that was warranted.
So you can do this. You can do this in all sports. You can go back and you can say, well, you know, it was a mistake right then and there, and here's how we rectify it. So it's not like nobody on the Caps can say, oh, you can't do it because there was no penalty called in real time, right? I mean, you can do it.
No. You can do it. And no one with the Caps would say that you can't. I think the Caps are arguing it's a shoulder-to-shoulder hit.
Right.
That Wilson is a little bit singled out. I think the Pens, understandably, would say he's not singled out at all because he's laid two of our guys out on the ice unable to play for the rest of the game. Now, Dumoulin, for all the angst over that hit in game two, he was back on the ice the next day and he played last night. I don't think that'll be the case with Aston Reese if, in fact, as Mike Sullivan, the Penguins coach, said, he has a broken jaw.
Okay, a couple of questions. One easier probably than the other. Harder question, are you now persuaded that the series is tilted in favor of the Capitals? And is Brian Trotz, is that his name, Brian Trotz? What's his first name?
Barry
Trotz.
I'm
sorry. Is Barry Trotz still coaching for his job as we felt he was in the first series?
Barry Trotz is coaching for his job until they advance beyond this series. I mean, getting up 2-1 does nothing for him in terms of coaching for his job. We can say it again. The Caps with Alex Ovechkin have never been past the second round. Barry Trotz in his career has never been past the second round. He's coaching for his job.
Okay.
We can talk about whether he saved it if they get to the next round.
Right.
I'm not even sure about that. So what was the other part of the question?
Is the series now tilted inexorably towards the Caps?
Yeah, I mean, not inexorably, but sure, yes. I mean, they have home ice back. They have won two different kinds of games against Pittsburgh, one where they led early and extended the lead, which they had failed to do other times when they had a two-goal lead, and then finished it off. And then last night where, you know, they fall behind 3-2 on, a Sidney Crosby goal, and they get the equalizer 5 minutes into the third. And then, you know, their two mainstays, Nick Backstrom and Alex Ovechkin, create the game winner with 67 seconds left.
Yeah.
So they've won it in different ways. They are in very, very good position. They also have been up in series 2-1 before and lost. So, you know, I think somebody had to win game three. The winner of that game was going to have the upper hand. The loser of that game was not going to be out of it.
Can I go back to game two for a second? Did you think that was a goal in the third period that would have made it 3-2, that would have had everybody in Washington gasping because they would have been convinced that the Capitals were going to lose that game?
So I am of the mind that that would have been a replay-created goal, and that, in fact, there was not enough evidence that if it had been called a goal on the ice, it would have stood as a goal on the ice. And if it had been waved off on the ice as no goal, it would have stood as no goal. Because I wasn't convinced that the tiny amount of white you can see between the red line of the goal line and the black of the puck was ice that was there and not just skate shavings. It was such a small sliver that you couldn't convince me that it was absolutely in the net. So
okay.
You do frame-by-frame stuff these days, but I thought the correct call was made. It sounds like kind of a homer reaction by me, but that's what I thought.
I actually think that the Capitals can sweep them now.
Stop
oh,
it.
Man.
I do. You started saying positive things about the Caps last year, and it went downhill from there.
Let's break his jaw right now.
Barry, who's going to win the series? Who, you think the Caps are going to win?
Well, I'm very reticent to say this, but I kind of thought it before the series. I don't think that the Caps are as good as they were last year. I also don't think that the Penguins are as good as they were last year. And if you look at the entirety of the series right now, and you can't take away the brain lapse of 5 minutes in game one in which the Caps spit away a 2-0 lead and the Penguins, with Crosby's line on the ice for each goal, scored three times. But they have played 180 minutes of the series, and the Caps have acquitted themselves quite well
in that
180 minutes. I think they're the favorite. And here's you mentioned the sweep, Tony, and the sweep being now what would be, five games.
Yep.
I think that however they're going to win this series, they are best to do it in six up here than have to face the specter of a home game in game seven. I think for this franchise at this stage of its development against this opponent, it is harder to play that game seven at home.
Amen.
Where if you don't score within the first 2 minutes, the building just sucks in
so
on
true.
Itself and folds up. And it just creates a tense environment that is worse than if you get a lead on the road. You're playing in a quiet, comfortable environment where you feel like every minute that ticks off the clock is in your favor. I think Caps in six is your best bet.
All right, can I switch to other sports?
Can I just say for the record that if this goes the way it normally goes to the Caps, Tom Wilson is going to find the two of you and say it all started. You know, Tony, you like to say when something started. This will be the defining moment.
Well, just maybe he shouldn't launch himself, you know, like is illegal in the NFL. Maybe he shouldn't quite do that.
Can I add something, too?
Yes.
Barry, I've read a lot of sports columns, excellent ones, including yours. This is the first one that's referred to a 13th century Scottish army, so congratulations.
Yes, that's very good.
Nicely done.
I loved it.
No, he was a Scottish army major at Duke. Everybody knows that. can I ask the sort of, in another sport, and I don't know if you're following the Nats as closely as you'd like to, where in God's name is Adam Eaton? What happened to him? He had 83 hits in the first two games, and now what? Now he's in a hospital? Where is he?
So I'm concerned. I would be concerned if I were a Nats fan because he's totally shut down. I mean, he's got this bone spur in his ankle, and it's the ankle in question. And it's not like he's like, okay, he's in West Palm Beach and he's rehabbing, he's running, he's jogging. No, he is. He's shut down from baseball activities, so that is not a good sign, because if you're resting it to get it in position where you can even run, then that's a problem. I mean, you know, people are going to get on the Nats for their start, and I understand, and there are some complicated elements, but put Daniel Murphy and Anthony Rendon back in that lineup and Adam Eaton, but I think we're going to have to wait for that, and I think they'll be fine. But I wouldn't, you know, the concern with Eaton now, he missed 5 months last year. He started off again extremely hot this year and can't stay on the field. They've got him under control going forward. Is this a guy who can play 150 games in a season? Right now, the evidence would suggest he can't.
Yeah, I mean, do you have any concerns about their medical staff?
So they overhauled it a couple of years ago with some kind of radical stuff. They brought over and this is probably more than you want to know, but they brought over a English Premier League soccer guy who had run a team over there. I think it was Liverpool, but I can't remember. Had run the medical stuff there. They really investigated and tried to get ahead of the curve. I don't know that we have enough data back on, you know, how their injuries compare to other teams and how it's improved or not improved. But the players definitely like it, just anecdotally. But I don't. That is, you know. I'm not only not a doctor, I'm not privy to the doctor, what the information that the doctors have. I don't think, it doesn't strike me that, while Daniel Murphy had knee surgery and Anthony Rendon's out, there must be a problem with the Nats medical staff. I mean, the Dodgers are banged up too. Corey Seager's done for the year.
Yes.
This stuff happened. So, so we'll see.
Are you paying attention to the Wizards?
Well, I mean, I watched their dog performance on Friday night. I mean, with with 6 minutes left or whatever it was, and they're up five, you're kind of thinking,
well, they only lose by 10. You know, it's not
yeah,
that bad.
Yeah, I mean, and here's my thought. I mean, yeah. And John Wall comes out the next day and says things have to change, and I don't think he's wrong. I mean, I don't know how they change when you've got three max players other than apparently doing what Wall wants to do and take Gortat out back and kick him while he's down. They need athletic bigs. They need all this. John Wall was terrible down the stretch of game six.
And five.
And so he can be right, and at the same time, maybe he should have taken, if he's the guy who's supposed to be leading the franchise, maybe he should be taking a little bit more ownership of pretty bad fourth quarter performances in the two biggest games of the year.
Are you coming over to my side like Boz finally did? That I'm not out here alone anymore. That in saying that yes, John Wall is a great player, but they are not. They're not good with him. They're not.
It's interesting, and you know, when we write the history of this, you will have been the lead dog, and maybe Boz and I are, you know, the number of Wizards games we've attended professionally in the last couple of years is not, you know, more than 10. So I don't know that we're. You may have a more informed opinion, but that I think is completely reasonable if you look at the results. And you know, there's got to be some consideration of Ernie Grunfeld's position. I understand why all three of those guys ended up being max guys, but how limited are you in what you can do around them because you've kind of boxed yourself into that corner? And have you boxed yourself into that corner with the right people? They've got all spring to consider it while they're watching the rest of the playoffs.
I'll get you out of here on this. This is my other question, and it's about Scott Brooks. Now, there's no evidence to me that the Wizards players, unlike the Boston players, there's no evidence to me that the Wizards players allow themselves to be coached. And I don't know why they're paying this guy $7 million a year. I really don't.
That's the one. It's not like, you know, I don't. The NBA is not a coach's league unless you look at Brad Stevens and
Greg Popovich
and a couple of
Steve Kerr.
Exactly. So, they're right. There are probably what are the number of difference maker $7 million level coaches in the NBA? Is it five? Is it eight? It's not 10.
It's one less than this guy.
Yes. Why? Why is he? I think you're right. I mean, they haven't either bought into him or he hasn't been able to get across to them. He was out-coached in that series, in the Toronto series, for sure. He, you know, there is some roster issues. Toronto was able to play a 10-man rotation that added, you know, that showed up in those fourth quarters where Wall and Beal had played all those minutes and they were kind of dogs by that point. But the thing you can't escape with Brooks is, okay, whether you think he's a good coach or not, $7 million? Come on. Like, that's not
35 guaranteed.
Yeah, he's not at that level. I think we can say that with certainty.
Thank you, Barry. We will welcome you home and welcome you back to the studio in due time. Barry's for Luba, boys and girls. We will come back with news when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show. Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is the ZipRecruiter ad. Are you hiring? Every business needs great people and a better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. That's not the way it works. ZipRecruiter knew there was a smarter way, so they built a platform that finds the right job candidates for you. ZipRecruiter learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. In fact, 80% of the employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate to the site in just one day. And ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They even spotlight the strongest applications you receive, so you never miss a great match. The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. Me, personally, I'm not hiring anybody right now. I'm sort of maxed out on hires.
But it's a hiring freeze.
But I don't have a big company. So if you have a big or a small company and you're one of my listeners, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Just single out the Tony part, and you get to try it for free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Will Salisbury from St. Louis's Money for Guns. Attached, you'll find a song written the morning after the 2016 election entitled We Don't Stand a Chance. I mean, I'm no prophet. Anyway, I'm glad Bootsy and I have finally buried the hatchet. Tell him thanks for the package I received last week with the plush stuffed children's toy that appears to be to just be a St. Louis Cardinal head with the attached note. I know it was you, William. That's a good thing, right? That's funny. If people want to send us music, just like Money for Guns sends us music, which we love and which we play in its entirety at the end of the podcast. Michael, how do they go about doing
that? Send your original music into the show by emailing it to Tony Kornheiser, or mailbag at Tony Kornheiser. Oh, I'm sorry.
Redo.
Take it again.
We've done this so many days in a row.
Yes.
Jingles at TonyKornheiserShow.com.
That's for the music.
Yes.
Now, if you want to buy gear, where do you go? Where's the catalog you look at to buy the gear?
I wouldn't call it a catalog.
No?
It's a very sparse-looking website.
Oh.
But
online
it gets
store.
The job done for your online purchases at shop.TonyKornheiserShow.com, where you can pick up a great T-shirt, now that it is officially T-shirt weather, and a nice cap to protect your head.
One of the people here has wearing a Tony Kornheiser Show T-shirt, which is very beautiful.
Look at that.
It's very beautiful.
The homeless gentleman here wearing that.
Yeah, so... And are we Hoff-waffing?
We are not Hoff-waffing.
We're not
so the Hoff-waff code was picked up by a coupon site. So I believe the Tony K coupon is now going to be active for Johnny O. And we're working towards another holiday push coming up. But I think Tony K will help you out for now.
Okay. And can I say that at Chatter, we are now, our decor at Chatter has changed literally overnight.
Nice. Yes.
Yeah.
We have now combined the festival of Cinco de Mayo,
right,
which is a Mexican national holiday, Cinco de Mayo. It celebrates, I'm sure, some sort of military victory, and I'm unaware of what. Am I right on this? A military victory by Mexico over
I
somebody?
I thought it was invented by beer distributors.
Did you? I think it's an actual holiday.
It's like St. Patrick's Day.
It's a very much a holiday, but I think it's about independence.
Yes,
right?
It's a day observed to commemorate the Mexican army's victory over the French Empire.
I believe I had this.
At the Battle of Puebla.
Thank you very much.
May 5th, 1862.
Okay, so I believe I had that it was a military victory of some kind. And we have that
in the broadest terms.
We have that decor, which is twinned up with Kentucky Derby decor.
Right, the Derby.
Because the Kentucky Derby, the first Saturday in May, that is going to be this Saturday. So we have Cinco de Derby, and we've got, it's really quite nice. And we have all sorts of food and drink specials beginning at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday going to 2 a.m. To 2 a.m. because the Derby is approximately a 6 o'clock start.
Yes.
So we have Corona and Rye Rickeys, whatever these are, and Dos Equis and Tecate and Modelo and all of these things. At off prices, cans and bottles and so on and so forth. And we urge you to come in. Now you can do the news.
Yes, and this is the place you want to be for that, for everything.
I think it's the place you want to be all the time. Now
will
that
you be here?
No. No.
And you just
know
want
why,
to get that
Michael?
Out in the open.
Do you want to know why, Michael? Because I live in the now, and I'm here now.
Right.
But I won't know. I think I'll be hitting it. I think I'll be hitting it on
Saturday.
You know
what we should get here at Chatter? Is a big life-size cutout of you. So then when you can't be
it's
here, because
like
you can't
be
all them,
people can
have
take
their pictures.
With it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Okay.
Not a bad
and we'll
yet.
Dress you up differently. Like this weekend, it could be a sombrero and a little
that's
jockey's
a
hat.
Great that's idea. Right.
And by the way, in case people think Michael's...
with a whip in my mouth like the jockeys do when they
yeah,
go.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, in case people think Michael's memory might be slipping, which it's not, would you like to tell people the address of Bagel City?
Oh, gosh. 12119 Rockville Pike.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. Very good.
Give him a call at 301-230-8080.
There you go.
We love Bagel City.
Yes, we do.
What is
George and the gang. We'll start off with baseball, Mr. Tony. You referred to it earlier. There was a change in the lineup. Bryce Harper inserted in the leadoff spot, responds with a big home run, 3 RBIs, 2 runs scored, and the Nats roll over Pittsburgh. It was a nice night for Washington over Pittsburgh, 12-4.
I'm going to ask a question here without actually knowing the answer. Did the Chicago Cubs play a day game yesterday? Did they play a day game? And the reason I ask that is this. Davey Martinez sat at the knee of Joe Maddon for X amount of years. Joe Maddon yesterday put Anthony Rizzo in the leadoff spot. He hadn't been hitting. He put him in the leadoff spot, and he responded with an actual leadoff home run, his first home run in an awfully long time. I'm wondering, I'm just asking, because Davey Martinez put his best hitter,
sure,
Bryce Harper, who was batting terribly, to that point yesterday. Bryce Harper was, what, 5 out of his last 37? He'd fallen under 250. He put him in a leadoff spot. He did not get a home run in his first at-bat, but he had a 3-run home run later in the game, I believe,
fifth inning.
He had a 3-run home run.
Trying to chase Wilmer Defoe's shot.
Yeah, Max Scherzer, if you give him 12 runs by the sixth, you're going to win. Max Scherzer now 6-1 with a 1.79 ERA. Was 2-0 in the fourth, 6-0 in the fifth, 12-0 in the sixth. I'm just asking if Davey Martinez looked at that and said, you know what, if it's good enough for Joe Maddon, it's good enough
or
for
me. Or maybe just texted him, say, hey, man, I need an idea.
Yeah.
You got any ideas?
I don't know.
I don't think it was the day game, but I can't.
So I think that was more of a response to Harper had been chasing the last couple days because he was getting nothing to hit. And in some
ways,
I think
he's being walked.
You see Harper trying to lay down some bunts. So if he's going to do that, you might as well put him in the leadoff spot so he can maximize pitches he's going to get. And in a way, I think this was Martinez trying to protect Zimmerman and trying to wake him up, because you have to imagine that it's getting a little contentious in that dugout when Zimmerman keeps hitting into double play. So this frees up Zimmerman so he doesn't have to look at Harper either in front of him or behind him.
Matt Adams playing left. He's also a first baseman. Matt Adams had a home run yesterday. He's batting 296. Yeah, Ryan Zimmerman batting 186. And at some point, you go, I don't know.
If this was a stunt by Martinez, it worked better than the Camels, by the way.
Yes,
That breaks my heart to say that. But and then I wondered, to Michael's point, near the end of one of the stories I read this morning, Bryce Harper's going on and on about how much he loves Martinez and he's really a player's coach and we're all in this together.
Good.
It's good, but and I've seen a couple of the players go out of their way to say that about him, and I wondered, are they saying it because somebody else doesn't like how it's going, like a Ryan Zimmerman? I always love thinking about what's going on in the locker room.
That's interesting, and I don't know how much of a leader or a spokesman for the team Bryce Harper is. I would tend to weigh on the side that said he's not, that he's sort of a solo performer.
He leads a lot with his quotes, though, and I think it was yesterday or the day before he said, you know, he's going on saying, I'm a young guy, I want to hit.
Yeah.
And I think that's signaling to everybody, you put me in a spot where I'm going to get a pitch where at least if I miss it, it's on me and it's not on somebody else.
But Bryce Harper loves his manager. He left Matt Williams. When Matt Williams was really, you know, on the outs, Bryce Harper stood up for him.
Yeah.
He loved Dusty Baker.
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean, he's...
It's what he does.
Yep.
Also in baseball, two things to mention. Justin Verlander, who I just think is great.
Yeah, how's this line? 8 innings, 3 hits, no walks, 14 strikeouts. But
no runs.
Yeah, no
1.13 ERA over the course of the year, even better than Max Scherzer's. Leaves the game after 8 innings in a scoreless game, and they lose. He doesn't lose.
Right.
Houston loses 4-0.
Although Scherzer was great last night.
Was great.
Yeah.
Scherzer was not as great as that.
No, but I just
not as great as that.
And it was really good timing after all the insinuations coming out from Trevor Bauer about Astros pitching specifically against the spin rate with Verlander.
Right. If you have a very specific thing you want to accuse someone of, accuse them. Don't hint. Say this is j'accuse. Why? That's the way big boys do it.
J'accuse.
And I wanted to mention George Mitrovich and his great baseball notes. He pointed out in his baseball notes the Miami Marlins on May 1st, when it is not 97 degrees. The Miami Marlins last night drew 5,844 people.
The Bowie Bay Sox get
5,844 because they don't like what Derek Jeter did to that team. And it goes higher than Jeter. Major League Baseball made a mistake in selling to that group. They knew what was going to happen. They made a mistake. Miami is a disastrous franchise. Every single thing that has been done to boost attendance in Miami, including the assumptions that the Cuban community would go to baseball games if A, B, C, and D happened, it's not so. They don't have attendance. It is a miscalculation on every level. Miami is a bad sports town.
It is.
Okay, it's a great Dolphins town. That's different. That's 8 home games a year. They're not doing anything.
No,
what else you got?
The average attendance for the Marlins, by the way, just over 11,000 per game.
What else do you have?
Mr. Tony, we will go to, you remember Harold Bornstein, don't you?
I do.
The doctor, the former doctor for President Trump.
He's a personal doctor.
Yes, personal doctor for over three decades.
But it's easy to get an appointment with him now.
Now it's very...
The guy who looks like Jerry Garcia.
Yeah, he's got some very interesting hair. And it's fascinating that we talk about the hair because that's what got him on the outs with the president. Because a while back, he said, oh, yeah, he takes Propecia to help his hair grow. And then a couple of days later, some henchmen from the president came in and removed every record from the doctor's office. And now he is.
Which I believe is their right.
I guess it is.
Do we think so? Yes. I believe that's their right.
And it's not his right to reveal details of Tori his relationship with Trump.
I believe it's their right if, in this case, the patient himself, Trump, has written a letter or somehow otherwise confirmed he wants these people to have access to his medical records.
He could have easily done that.
He could have.
He could have done that.
Did they also take a photo off the wall? Read somewhere that they took a photo off the wall of the doctor hugging.
Let's run with that because
according to the doctor, and this is the most amazing.
He's being ghosted.
The most amazing thing here is that if you recall, Trump made a big deal over the fact that his doctor, Dr. Harold Bornstein, had said that he is the healthiest man to ever serve as the president of the United States.
Ever.
The doctor says he didn't write that. Trump dictated it and wrote it himself.
You know? And we should have called that a long time ago. When the way it's written, the bombastic tone, is that the right word, you writer people?
Bigly.
Yeah, bigly.
Bigly. By the way, we have confirmation about the picture. An 8x10 picture of Bornstein grinning with Trump once hung prominently on the doctor's wall. According to NBC News, the photo is now lying unseen on a bookshelf. Bornstein claims that Trump's men told him to remove the photo. You got to take that down, Doc. Sorry.
He's going to, if you need an appointment in New York with a doctor, he's going to have plenty
of
time.
You walk right in.
Yeah, he's
going to. And these are the kinds of things that make me go, okay, Saturday night, I won't stay up late enough, but I do need Sunday morning to check what was on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Right.
It's incredible.
Yes.
Do we have anything else?
Speaking of the president, one of his ex-wives, Marla Maples.
No, I wanted to do this later.
Oh, you're doing that later. Okay. Well, then I do have one more story for you, Mr. Tony.
Yes.
You're a big fan of ice cream, but particular flavors, right?
Coffee.
Coffee is your...
A mint chip.
Chocolate.
That's about it.
You don't like stuff with schmutz in it, as you like to say.
No mixed
flavors. I don't like any Ben and Jerry's ice cream because they do not give you a solitary flavor. They always combine things, and so I don't like their ice cream.
Well, I'm guessing that
I don't like rocket fuel vanilla. You know what I mean? I don't like that.
Just a little bit of rocket fuel.
Yeah,
in
I don't like that.
I'm going to guess that you're not...
I do like vanilla fudge a little bit, but people don't make that anymore, do they?
Set me free.
Yeah.
Why don't you, babe?
Oh, there you go.
Get out my life.
I'm guessing that you're not going to be a fan of the new product coming out from Windy Brow Farms in Freedon Township in New Jersey. I'm pronouncing that right.
Uh-huh.
It is going to introduce the state's first Taylor Ham ice cream.
No, I don't.
No. Oh,
that sounds great.
I don't even like Taylor Swift ice cream. I don't like it.
That brand of pork roll famous to New Jersey residents. It will mix in bits of... It'll mix in French toast with actual pieces of pork roll.
Well, no.
Can I just say, though, I am a huge fan
of Taylor Ham.
Would you? I grew up on Taylor Ham.
But you don't want it in ice cream.
I do not want it in ice cream.
Now, the managing partner, Jake Hunt, said, well, pork-only ice cream would just be disgusting. That's why we added the maple and French toast element to really give it that sweet and salty balance.
Some years back, I don't know when, McDonald's came out with this thing called the McGriddle.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And I tasted it, and I hated it.
Oh, with the maple-flavored
so
bun?
No. I just hated it.
You agreed. Don't cross-pollinate like that.
No,
All right, good. So we're done?
Yes, that's it.
All right, so we will have Old Guy Radio when we return, and then we'll talk about Marla Maples and that. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is a George Harrison tune. This is something. This is probably the most famous George Harrison tune in terms of critical commentary, covered fabulously by Frank Sinatra when he just invented his own lyric, which was, you stick around, Jack. You might know. It's like, what? Why are we playing this?
And by the way, famously referred to that originally as his favorite Lennon-McCartney song. McCartney was like, yeah, thanks, Frank. That's actually George's song. We're playing it because on this date in 1969, the Beatles went into the studio and recorded this. And it's fascinating because 8 years to the day, Eric Clapton went into the studio and recorded Wonderful Tonight. These are both two of the greatest love songs ever written
to the same woman.
Yeah, Patty Boyd, who was first married to George Harrison and then famously married to Eric Clapton. And,
Still alive, Patty Boyd.
She is still alive.
She wrote a book.
I actually had a chance to talk to her when she was on the book tour.
You're kidding.
Yeah, and I asked her about this, and she, you know, it's like, you're the recipient of like two of the greatest love songs ever. And she's like, yeah, it's very sweet. It obviously makes her very happy, but she's, particularly when she listened to Wonderful Tonight, it was very bittersweet because there were so many bad times with Eric Clapton that would remind her of the good times, but it was, she couldn't escape the bad times that she had with him. So,
they became divorced ultimately,
they
too.
They did, yes, they did. Yes.
Patty Boyd.
She met George on Hard Day's Night.
That's right, yes.
Can we list all the girlfriends of the Beatles, all the famous ones like Jane Asher?
In the next 3 hours.
They had a lot of girlfriends.
Yes.
I wanted to talk, you mentioned the Marla Maples thing. There's a story in the Washington Post today. Marla Maples is the second wife of Donald Trump, who is currently married for the third time.
Mother of Tiffany.
Mm-hmm. Mother of Tiffany. I'm just going to read this. In the ever-expanding ways that sort of famous folk can monetize their popularity, enter Cameo, a website and app that allows users to order up short personalized videos from an assortment of celebrities. Many of the video messages are purchased as gifts. Think of your girlfriend's favorite Real Housewife sending her a birthday message. Among the see and below list names on the site, it's teeming with YouTube stars, pro athletes, and minor musicians, is none other than Marla Maples. Now, I'm just going to take issue with that. I mean, I just don't think historically that Marla Maples is now a see and below list. I mean, I think she's higher than that.
Really?
I do.
Based on just proximity?
Now, I would have said that 10 years ago, but I wouldn't. He's the president of the United States, so I would not say that now. Though she's listed as an actress, Maples is perhaps most famous for her role as wife number two in the epic story of President Trump. And for $33, you can order a video message of your very own from her. Buyers are asked to fill out a form with their name, number, and email, along with special instructions. Sample, hi, my friend Carissa just went through a breakup and needs some cheering up.
Sorry,
so far, it seems Maples gives good video. She's earned a perfect 5-star rating. Thank you, Marla, wrote one reviewer. She is still the beautiful lady. Very fast response and ad-libbed when appropriate. Well worth the money, wrote another. It's $33, not a lot of money. Really, totally awesome. Thanks for having fun with it and recognize it was all harmless. Video was lovely. Thanks so much. How do we feel about this?
I see a money-making opportunity. Micah, we can add to the store.
I love this. I'm already on their website.
Selling you
I'm logging you in.
We'll do it for $32. That's how we corner the market, right?
Yeah. And by the way,
I do this for free all the time.
Yes.
Okay.
I do this for free all the time.
There's the problem.
It never occurred to me to charge. People say, would you call my friend? Would you leave a match? Sure. Of course I will.
We're going to sell it. And we each get 10%. If we line one up for you, we each get 10%.
Well, how much?
And we knock out signing birthday cards every morning. You can spend 15 minutes doing some messages. We can knock them out
Like
that.
Sure, I do that.
And then you could come to people's birthday parties for their husbands.
Oh, sure. You could grill with them.
Oh, I did that. I hated that. Jeannie got me to go to the pond.
You could go to lunch.
Jeannie got
me. No, we went to Duke's.
No, we went to the pond.
No, we went to Duke's.
It was awful. And I told you it was going to be awful.
I know.
And you said it wouldn't be awful, and it was so awful.
I knew it would be awful. I lied.
It was so awful.
I'm going through their actors right now. Tori Spelling, that's a bigger name that I would expect to see on this list.
And also a richer person.
Most of these are YouTubers, Bravo TV stars.
You're more famous than they are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I know.
$34.
I know I am.
And what about a combo with Wilbon? Think of what we could sell that for.
$38 at least.
And then the next generation.
50.
The next horizon or the next generation of will be, we can send 3D holograms of you to a party. So you don't have to go, but they get you there.
I mean,
Money.
I don't charge for this.
You know what we need to get, Mr. Tony? I'm sorry, Dr. Tony.
Dr. Tony.
To you.
You know that credit card application you can put on your cell phone so you can swipe through it? That way if somebody says, oh, I don't have any cash on me, you just pull that out and say, swipe your card, mate. $34.
Here's a letter that I got yesterday from Mitch Daniels, who you might remember as the governor of Indiana.
Lovely man.
Mitch Daniels. Mitchell E. Daniels, Jr., president, Purdue University.
Yeah.
Dear Mr. Kornheiser, I hope you will consider being a central figure of Purdue's upcoming year-long 150th anniversary celebration. The cradle of astronauts, I'm pretty sure Neil Armstrong is a Purdue grad. And the third largest producer of engineers in the country, Purdue is now ranked annually among the top 5 public universities in the country. I didn't know it was public. I thought that was a private school. While we're enormously proud of the history that brought us to this point, we plan to focus our birthday mostly on the future, on the intellectual and ethical challenges humanity will face over the next 150 years.
Was this sent to somebody else at Chatter? Is this really addressed to you?
Mr. Tony Kornheiser, the Tony... Oh, it gets
some
better.
Mix up in the Tony, mail.
We're inviting you. This is the great paragraph. We're inviting you and others of the world's top thinkers.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Others of the world's top thinkers to campus for intellectually rigorous and curiosity-inspiring discussions around topics like health, longevity, and quality of life. Could a child alive today live to 150? To which my answer would be, I don't think so. Creating a sustainable world, innovating today for a sustainable tomorrow.
You go on about that a lot.
Space, Earth exploration and economics.
Well,
and where
you.
The moon is, yeah. Where the moon might be this morning.
Yeah, you're the
moon and
expert.
AI, algorithms, and automation.
Oh,
balancing yeah. humanity Wheelhouse. And technology.
He's Wheelhouse. Got your number.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
Surprised
just,
I waited
just
so long.
Just flatter me.
Right.
Because I spent the first 15 minutes talking about a hockey game. If you prefer to address topics on which you are currently focused, we will tailor the event to your preferences.
Ice cream?
The provide moon? You an open forum for a presentation,
that's
armchair conversation,
open forum is perfect.
Or other formats. We want our honored guests to provoke, debate, and inspire participants gathered on campus and around the world via remote access. Please consider coming to campus anytime between September 2018 and December 2019 as a premier guest, not only of one convocation, but truly of the entire 150th celebration. And I'm sitting there reading this going, why are you sending this to me?
I have a theory.
Why? Wait, let's get to the next paragraph.
Oh, my God.
Next paragraph.
A long letter.
We have extended the same invitation to Mr. Mike Wilbon. If it is your preference to visit campus together in the spirit of pardon the interruption. So this had to come to us.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I've seen
yeah.
Wilbon's letter.
Yes.
Perhaps even broadcasting from Purdue, we would love the opportunity. We would work to accommodate your schedule in every way and to make the trip a rewarding and fruitful one. And by the way, Matt Kelleher looked up. There are Holiday Inn Expresses in West Lafayette. There's a Hampton Inn in West Lafayette. But you know what there isn't? There isn't a Four Seasons.
Yeah.
There
no,
isn't two a Four bathrooms.
Seasons. Sounds like one
please
bathroom.
Consider coming to campus. Any, yes. Okay, thanks so much. With best wishes, Mitch Daniels.
Okay.
Okay, so.
No mention of parking whatsoever.
There's no parking.
Right.
No, because I want the players' lot. I'm supposed to do this thing on Sunday morning. And if George Solomon or anybody who knows George Solomon is listening, I want the players' lot or I am not coming. It's very simple. I'm doing you a favor. I want the player's lot so I can leave when I want
you
to. That's all I want.
Such a grump.
I just want the player's lot. I'm willing to do this. I'm willing to introduce Wilbon for an award, but I want the player's lot. So anyway, so yesterday, unbeknownst to Wilbon shows up, opens this letter, and starts screaming.
Right.
Like, I'm going to Purdue. I went to Northwestern. I'm not going to Purdue. I don't care about Purdue. And I said, but you were always talking about that's your conference. He said, yeah, it's my conference, but it's not my school. I went to Northwestern. I'm not doing this. And he said, well, I was invited too. Then he gets to my paragraph in the letter. He's completely flummoxed about
right,
this.
So,
he says, we're not doing PTI there. We're not doing that. So
I have a theory.
What's your theory?
My theory is that at Purdue, in external relations, probably there's probably a nice, you know, like 20-something, 30-something who's a fan of maybe PTI and or this show. And
good.
By the way, if they had invited
like
this show,
makers.
I would have thought yeah. more highly of them.
Right.
And these letters from Mitch Daniels, who is a lovely guy, are yeah. probably going out to people like
hundreds
former
of thousands
presidents.
Of people.
Right? And this
us.
This mid-level munchkin set, oh, wouldn't it be great if we
right.
could get Cornette? So,
yeah.
Is
and by the way,
thing?
We would be a huge draw. Because
huge.
We are right now in negotiations, and by in negotiations, I just mean we're trying to see if we can do this. Northwestern is opening up a basketball gym next November. Its first opponent or second opponent, one of its first two opponents,
Binghamton?
Is the University of Binghamton.
Oh, that's fun.
No.
And so we yes.
I
now,
was
we're going to lose by 40. We're going to lose by 40.
Or
but it's a payday. It's payday for us. And Wilbon and I could actually go and do PTI from there.
Spectacular.
As the PTI game. Not in Purdue. Although I have nothing against Purdue.
Right.
I've been to West Lafayette. I've driven through West Lafayette, Indiana. I like Big Ten schools. I think as a conference, they have really smart schools. They have a lot of really smart schools. So, but I'm sort of amazed
I think
to be put in the... Because, I mean, the AI and the algorithms.
Don't you think that's...
I can't even do the Squarespace
like
ad.
it's a robo-letter, don't you think? Where
yeah.
somebody
really?
Just plugs
yeah.
in. Yeah.
Do you think that's not a real signature?
I really don't.
No. But I think they
I
need...
Think
if they're
genuine.
Listening, and I bet the enterprising person who sent that is listening.
But the
they
one,
need
two,
to up
three...
The,
The sixth paragraph where it says we have extended the same invitation, that's the paragraph that personalizes.
Yes.
The sixth paragraph is the paragraph open-ended. About you.
Yeah, I think they need to up the ante, though. I mean, what are they going to offer you for doing this?
They've offered us nothing.
Yeah, well.
It seems,
offered us the opportunity, in my case, to talk about things I don't know.
Okay.
And well, I'm not going to even
parking in the player's
years.
Lot, perhaps.
Your dissertation on how the moon changes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I got up this morning. I couldn't find the moon.
Yeah, see, that's...
How does that work?
So. By the way, you are 100% right. 23 astronauts came from Purdue.
Holy moly.
Including Gus Grissom, Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong on the moon.
And Gene Cernan.
First on the moon.
First, and Gene Cernan was the last, so they got the first.
So what do you think about that?
I think it's ridiculous. I think it made me laugh to tears as you were reading it.
Yeah.
If there anything could show how little someone knew about you, that letter nails
it. I have nothing
it.
To say. I mean, I sit here every day showing you I have nothing to say, and certainly nothing to say about large topics.
The lesson here is to be direct with your ask. If the end goal is, hey, we'd really love to have Kornheiser and Wilbon do PTI live from Purdue, ask, because you might get closer to that end than throwing a letter filled with buzzwords.
So Wilbon is indignant.
Yeah, he's not.
Go to Purdue?
Yeah.
Not going to Purdue. And I said, but you're always talking about Midwestern sensibilities and how nice all of you are. Why don't you go to Purdue? Not going to Purdue. I'm from Northwestern.
Well, if Stony Brook invited you...
Not going. But I'm saying that out loud. I'm not going. I mean, I'm not even going to Binghamton. I mean, I've been to Binghamton.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yes.
One other story. Bella and Marta Caroli are suing USA Gymnastics for lost wages of $1 million because, their ranch in Texas is no longer a gymnastics heaven. Larry Nassar, who has been accused by literally hundreds of women who were young girls at the time of unwanted and illegal and immoral touching, right? Do I cover that?
Yes.
And who's going to spend the rest of his life in jail.
Deservedly so.
100%. The only question that we would talk about off the air, and so we can do it on the air, because this comes up with Joe Paterno. Do you think they knew?
Yes.
Yes. And even if they didn't, suppose they didn't know about Nassar, the gymnasts have described the Caroli camp as being something more Spartan than boot camp.
Okay, that was to get them in shape to be on the Olympic team.
Other Olympic athletes didn't have to
like
go through that.
That's like Bear Bryant at Texas A&M.
No,
I'm
they
okay
treated those young women, girls, in a way different than the way other Olympic athletes were treated.
But not other Olympic gymnasts. All gymnasts were
all
treated
gymnasts
that way.
Were...
And we won as a result. We had great results. How are our results in the other sports? Not nearly as good.
At what cost?
But this point did come up. Savannah Guthrie, whatever else you may think of her, did a really good job interviewing them a week or so ago. And this point about how tough the conditions were came up. And their response was, we wanted to make it harder at the camps than anything they would ever see. So when they got to the Olympics, it was not a big deal. So that was their rationale. I don't believe for a second they didn't know what was going on.
Really?
The volume of this guy's activity, to put
now,
it nicely.
Now you hear about, and there's so many.
And the verified documentation of these young women, these girls, over the years,
raising their
hands saying, he's doing this.
I don't know if I'm right in this, because there might be a million legal ways. I don't know how Michigan State stays in business with the amount of lawsuits that are going to come to Michigan State.
Pretty tough.
I don't know how they stay in business, unless there's some sort of ruling that says, you can collect money from somebody other than Michigan. I don't know how you do
it. I thought that about Penn State. But 12 months after Penn State, the seams of that crime began to seal up and disappear.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that time does that, and spin control does that.
So, all right, we're out of here on this. And we will come back with a jingle and with some email. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Some say cheese, it is a junk food that clogs your arteries. Some say cheese, full of cholesterol, can lead. Heart disease.
KJ can sing.
Yeah.
Some say cheese, it is unhealthy. more dairy than you need. But I say cheese, it is delicious, and it's found at the cheese.
This is written by Tony Beeson and sung by Kirsten Ohnstadt. Is that all we've got? Because there's other verses that are
that
wonderful.
Was great.
That
I could listen to her great. All day long.
She's
yes.
wonderful.
She's just
She's
the best.
Wonderful. Before we get to the mailbag, let me thank Barry's Verluga for coming on. Let me thank the sponsors today, Books and ZipRecruiter. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of The Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. And if you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave us a review. Jim Zinzi in the audience, originally from Red Lion, Pennsylvania.
Hey, Jim.
Now in Rehoboth Beach.
Nicole was the investigative reporter.
You know, and they used
That's
to they used to accost me on the beach.
Yeah.
On the Norfolk Street Beach, when I would go there from 7 in the morning to 8:45 and then leave.
They stalked you.
They stalked me, which was great. Brendan Borzelli, Lebanon, New Jersey. Some of the highlights from the Fag Lap included the following, and that was the...
First and last golf tournament.
Gary Big Time Braun coming off IR with back problems to hit the ceremonial first drive. Andy Poley greeting everyone at the dinner with the news that Palmeiro had getting popped for steroids, and Tony getting followed around by a woman holding an umbrella over him the entire round.
That was Jan Rosen. Yes.
But also Tracy Tran carried an umbrella as
Lots
well.
Lots of umbrellas, yes.
It was a great day to be a nerd, except for Mark Cole, who took a header on the golf cart path. Oh. I've never had so much fun shooting a 141. We should do it again. Let's do it again. Matt Baer, Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm also amazed at how quickly Alexa works. In the same vein, I recently pushed a switch up on my wall and a light immediately came on. I was expecting some delay, a flicker of light, or maybe sparks from the wall, but it was instantaneous light. It was amazing. Yes, make fun of me. By the way, we have somebody here from Memphis, and I said, do you go to the Rendezvous Barbecue? And he says, no, he goes other places, that locals go other places.
Oh, wow.
So he sent us an email before, so we'll get that email
Gary
back.
Gary said that, too.
Yeah.
Mike from Burke, Virginia. Can't wait for this. I share your appreciation of the arch in St. Louis, and I know the answer to this question before I ask it. Did you take the little interior shuttle up to the very top
no
of
chance.
The arch to the
no
observation
chance.
Deck therein? The little cars on the shuttle are extremely small, as you might expect, and perhaps a little claustrophobic. I can easily imagine Mr. Tony freaking out on the way up, and perhaps it's best that you didn't do that, as I'm sure you didn't. If you did, I don't believe you. Believe me, I didn't.
Yeah.
I would never do that.
Never.
Because
happen.
I would think it would fall off.
Right.
I would not
but
do
it would
that.
End up on the
Probably
other side.
From Dalton Miller in McKinney, Texas, during Monday's pod, Salissa mentioned a post coworker who flossed his teeth at his desk. This reminded me when I worked the Pizza Hut at Target. Every Monday, the local version of Ingleside, who bring the blue hairs for their weekly field trip to Target. One time, one of the male members of this group sat at the table nearest my counter and proceeded to trim his fingernails.
No.
The funny part was every time I heard the distinct snipping noise we can all recognize as nail trimmers being used, I would look up directly at him and he would immediately lay his hands together in his lap, covering his nail clippers like an old church lady clutching her purse, and he would look away like a toddler trying to act casually after breaking something. I wanted to walk over to him with a broom and say, "Here to clean up your mess when you're done," but my manager stopped me. In the end, I had to clean up his mess.
Ew.
I think we can all agree you should never cut your nails in public, especially not indoors. P.S. Viva la lace. Viva. From Mark Copeland in Hershey, Pennsylvania. Tell Gary I went to Brooklinen to lay some jingle on the Sixers +5, but I don't think good housekeeping knows what it's talking about. Best online betting? Hardly. All I see are some sweet sheets. No, it's betting.
Oh,
that's
bedding.
Funny.
Oh,
B-E-D-D-I-N-G.
Right.
Stephen Smith, not Stephen A. Smith, no, but Stephen Smith in LaGrange, Illinois. That must make everybody nervous if they're called Stephen Smith. Please make Leon Sphincter sound effects the opening soundtrack to the show for the rest of time. From Daniel in Austin, Texas. Is it just me or does the cuddler sound like a really lame Batman villain? That's a good observation.
Yeah.
Who would you... I would... $80 an hour to be cuddled?
No, not going to happen.
Nick Sharkey of Tiger Shark Analytics. Your solution to finding a baseball game on TV was to call your former place of employment, but I'm going to explain to you the discipline of natural language processing, NLP, and how it enables Alexa to know what you're asking. Alexa, how long until Ingleside?
Soon.
Anthony Fappiano, Glens Mills, Pennsylvania. Two questions. Have you ever been invited to a state dinner, and do you miss the old Big East? I guess I talk about these a little bit too much, huh? From Brian Barnett in Greenville, North Carolina. First, Gary says, I'm not a man, even though I'm 36 and CFO of Pitt County, North Carolina, home of the East Carolina University Pirates. Now Dr. Tony says, I'm not a man because I don't own a tux. It's not that you're not a man. You should go out and own a tux, especially if you're in politics on any level or you're running your own business. You should have a tuxedo. If you're out on your bike time, everybody, as always, do wear white.
I have a piano. Thanks, everybody.
tonight.